and you do hear on a prompt on your telephone that says you're being muted, please be sure to just not mute yourself until you have a question. The reason that we mute you is because we can sometimes hear outside noise from your office or from your phone or from whatever microphone you're using for a cell phone, for example. So I may periodically mute people. That being said, looks like we have a pretty good crowd today for this particular subject, which is actually a very exciting one. I'm really interested to hear the material that Allie's going to present. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to Allie.
Wow. Okay. So we have a big turnout. Is there a lot of people out there, Joanne?
Yeah, but it looks like I think we're still going to be having some more people come on. Typically, we get about five or so people that join as we go.
Okay, great, because I'm actually dialing in, and I just got to run it up on the website, but I'll get started. So I want to welcome everybody again. It's thank you for tuning in a week early, because I know that we normally do this on the first Wednesday of the month, so thank you for accommodating my schedule change, and APS, thanks for helping me on that as well. I'll be in Japan. I leave on Sunday again. I'll be there for 10 days, and then after that, I'll be flying to Thailand for another five to hang out in a Buddhist temple for a little while. So thanks for bearing with me, you guys. I appreciate it. And I wanted to talk to you guys about this month's topic. To me is really, really important, and I hope that I could give you guys some insight on what the back-to-school rush or the October, November, December rush is and how we can tap into it. So it's real, real important to take advantage of, you know, what we say here on this phone conference and try to put a lot of these things into action so that you can get benefits from it. So it's real, real important to understand that September and October we consider back-to-school months. Now, the back-to-school push is not just basically for the initial back-to-school drive, like for the first week or two. So it doesn't matter whether you are already back-to-school for a month or you're back-to-school for 2 months, because I know some schools start as early as beginning of August and they go back to school. The whole entire key is to really tap into the feeling of everybody starting in school again for the year, and not to say that we want to tap into people doing badly, but if kids are struggling with particular items, this is another reason to push martial arts. If parents are upset because the kids are, you know, getting bullied in school, it's just another reason why we push the martial arts. If parents are really not happy with the grades that the kids are getting or the first quarter reports or the first homework assignments that are being done and it's taking too long for the kids to do homework, this is just another reason to push your program. And we're going to also talk about the downsides that you'll hear about when parents will say to you, you know, well, he's so busy with school, he's overwhelmed with school. Let's touch on that at the very, very end. So now, how do we push back to school? How do we tap in to the whole back-to-school market? So the first thing that I would recommend, I'm going to give you a series of low-cost advertising things that you could use, and then if you want to, you can ask questions. I'll ask if anybody has any questions, but I'm just going to rattle them off. So if you guys have pens, try to write these down. Of course, we know the first low-cost advertising method would be to start to design a flyer. And now, there's many people that are involved with NAPMA and MIA and some of the other organizations, so there's many flyers that are out there. We also have them available to you on the APS website. We also have them available if you're a premium member of Taking It to the Next Level, which we're ready to launch. I'm just going to do it when I get back from Japan. And so flyers, 8.5 by 11 flyer is a dynamite way to get people to realize who you are. Now, how do we distribute those? There's a few ways that I do it. And one, we put together our demo team on weekends or teams of kids for each location that we have. And we do a day where we deliver for like 5 or 6 hours, and we'll hit all different areas. It could be a shopping mall. Be careful of putting them on cars, because sometimes you could get in trouble for that. Or we'll give them out to people as they're leaving from the shopping mall. We hit all the baseball fields, football fields, soccer fields while the parents are watching their kids playing. We'll do the cars. As the games are ending, we're handing them to the parents. So that's another really, really great way. Another dynamic way to give out these flyers would be to hand them to your students and ask them to do their own block. I know sometimes parents might not like this, but there's probably a handful of parents that just wouldn't mind the kids getting out and being active. So you could say, Mrs. Smith, is it okay if Johnny puts all these flyers in every block, every house on your block? And it could consist of 30 or it could be 100. It depends on the level. They might want to do the blocks surrounding their house, and they'll do it for free for you, but they'll get your flyers out. Another way is to go to all the local stores and ask them if it's okay if you leave one and put it up in the window of the store and leave a few on the counter. And if it's okay with them, that just gets more businesses promoting your business, as well as people may be seeing this in multiple places rather than just in one at the baseball field. They may go from the baseball field to the pizza parlor and then find out that, wow, they saw it twice, so that second time they see it, they may pick it up, or the third or fourth time, they may pick it up. Another really great low-cost advertising is Buddy Days. Now, we're doing a really big Halloween party, and I'll go over that in a second, but we turn our Halloween party into Buddy Days. But let's just talk about the Buddy Day as a specific day. You could set any day on your calendar and say, this Friday is going to be Buddy Days for my little ninja class, you know, and Mighty Ninjas afterwards, and the next day could be for youth, and the following day could be for adults. One thing you don't want to do is make it so that you can't handle the flow of people that are being brought in. So I usually try to make it a specific day for a specific age group, and then that way we could deal with the children and the parents. So we ask every one of our clients to bring in a buddy, and a good majority of them won't do it, but you'll say if you have 200 students walk through your door that week and half of them bring a buddy, you have 200 people that are coming in and trying your program and getting a taste of what you do, and then you have to have something really, a quality advertisement, flyer, offer, whatever it may be, to send home with them, because they may come with their friend and not a parent. So you want to send it home to encourage that parent or that child or that person to get involved in your school. Maybe even give them a free pass or for a free week or for a free month of classes. So Buddy Days are phenomenal as well. Another thing that we hit really, really heavily is our letters of intent, and I don't know if many people are doing that, but anytime a person is going to be promoted in our school, we hand them a letter of intent that they have to have signed by their school teacher, and they have to have it signed by their parent. When their school teacher reads the letter, it asks the school teacher if they would like us to come in as a special person day. It requests them to give us their email and a contact number that we could get in touch with them so that we could set up an appointment, come in and make a special day for that student of ours, come in and make them look like a star, give away autographed pictures, give away pencils with our names on it, and do whatever we have to do to get the parents to recognize that we were there that day. In other words, the kids that are in the class will bring the pencil home or the flyer home or the crossword puzzle home or the, you know, whatever we give to them home, and it's going to have a call to action on it. Sometimes some of the schools won't allow you to advertise, so you have to be as subtle as you can. Here's just a bunch of free pencils for you guys to use in the school, and it has our phone number on it. And the letters of intent and the meetings with the teachers and the special person days turn into the school talks that may become assemblies or a peer pressure bully-proofing day or a self-defense, you know, child abduction day and so on and so forth. So we're trying to touch as many people as many times as we possibly can, and it all starts from our letter of intent. And some people, some teachers will just write back and say, no, we're not interested. We normally try to use a follow-up letter asking them why they're not interested or if they really understood our offer, because sometimes they just think that we want to go in there and talk to the kids or talk to the teachers and have no content and nothing that will benefit their classroom. So we ask them for, you know, on a secondary follow-up and have the kid bring a little envelope that says, Dear Mrs. Smith, to their teacher, so that we could follow up with the teacher. And then also I would recommend, too, another way to add low-cost advertising is a special class that you could give, and you could get a group of kids and ask them to do a special seminar. Like, it could be your teenage group, and you're going to do a class on, it could be something fun like an obstacle course or a gladiator night or a, you know, special grappling seminar. For adults, it could be a knife defense seminar. And you could either elect to charge on this, you could charge for the seminar, or you could do it for free. But the goal is, if they want to come for free, they have to bring a buddy with them. So it's another low cost marketing system that we use. Now, the thing that I always constantly go over on a regular basis is the push for new members through referrals. Now, I don't know if anybody has really put this in effect, but I just want to go over the numbers one more time quickly with you guys. If you have 100 students in your school and everybody refers you one member, only one member, you get 100 referrals. If you sign up only half of them, you have 50 new students. That's better than any ad, and it's for free. So the thing is that we're not really pursuing, I don't think, as an industry, our referrals like we should be, and this is something that we should definitely do on a regular basis. Because if we're doing it every single month, month one, Mrs. Smith might not give us a referral, but month two, she may give us two referrals. We should be asking every single person every single month to give us referrals. We should call them up on a regular basis, make contact with them in the lobby, and speak to them and tell them how important it is to our business. Don't be afraid to ask for referrals. Don't be afraid to tell them that that's the way we grow our school, and don't be embarrassed to say if our school grows, it's not, you know, people tend to think that if our school grows, they're going to get less quality instruction. We need to let them know that the more we grow, the more we'll offer to them, the more we grow, the more instructors we'll add on, and the better the instruction will become, and our school will become, and so on and so forth. So everybody really push for that referral. This is a $0, zero cost method of doubling your enrollment. Literally, if you have 100 students, you could get 100 referrals. If you're really good at closing those sales, you could have 100 new members in your school, and it's something that we should ask for, almost beg for, when we call people up. I mean, it's something that we could do. And if they're referred, actually referred to us, it's probably the best lead that we're ever going to get, because Mrs. Smith is going to tell them about us and tell them how great we are, and then we're not going to have to overcome a lot of objections, like why are you better than the guy down the road, or why is your price a little bit more expensive, or why are you so good? Well, ask Mrs. Smith. She already told you how great we are. She's checked around in a bunch of different schools. If you listen to her, she'll tell you exactly why we're the best. And that's why I say that we still have to tap into referrals. Any questions up until now? Does anybody out there have a question? And we're going to move on. I have a bunch of stuff I want to cover. Anybody?
For referrals, you know, how do you? I see how you're saying ask people and stuff like that.
Right.
But how do you? It sometimes it seems real hard to pull that out of people. And get
okay.
That.
I'm going to give you an idea, and that's the general answer that I get, even from my staff. They go, wow, Mrs. Smith is just hesitant. They don't want to give us a referral. They don't want to give out their friends' names. They
yeah,
feel uncomfortable.
They're going to be looked at as a salesman.
Exactly.
Like
well, let me tell you, I think that if handled properly, it's pretty easy to get. But just because of the nature of the business, with all these multi-level marketing schemes that are going on, people are afraid to give out other people's private numbers and phone numbers. So what we normally do during our 2-4-6 week calls is we have a script that our students have, our staff has, and they ask. And I'm going to just give you a for instance, and then I'll move on. But you'll go, hi, Mrs. Smith, this is Renchi Alley from Long Island Ninjutsu Center. So I'm just calling to see if everything is going great. We go through this whole entire spiel, and then after we're done, we're going to close our conversation by saying, Mrs. Smith, we realize that Johnny will have a better chance of sticking with our program and learning and having fun if he has someone in the program that he really knows that he can enjoy it with. So this is where we're going to ask you if you have any people that you could refer to us. And our referral program is dynamic because if you get 5 people to join our school and they sign up for a year, you get 1 year for free, which is valued at $1,500. So if you have anybody now that you could give to me, could I get their name and phone number? Now let's just say play devil's advocate. She goes, well, boy, that sounds good, but you know what? I do feel a little uncomfortable. I'm going to have to think about it. So I'll say, you know, I understand that you feel a little iffy about doing this. So what I recommend is why don't you do this? When I build up a little bit more trust in you, and you could trust me to know that I'm not going to just solicit these people to death and they're going to end up hating you and I will call you back and ask if that's okay that you give me the referral. And she'll say, okay. So then I'll say, how about this? In 2 weeks, how about I call you back, and if you're happy in 2 weeks, or if I say in 3 weeks, I'll call you back, and if you're happy with everything, would you promise to give me at least one referral? And then most probably they're going to say yes. And then I would say, okay, I'm going to call you back approximately October 17th and ask you for that referral. Can you start thinking of who would be the best and the easiest person for us to contact? And then how could they turn you down? And then at that point when you call them back, you say, remember, Mrs. Smith, you promised me you were going to give me one referral. Who would you like to give me? And then at that point, say, well, is there anyone else? Because you must have thought of a few people. And if they're still a little hesitant, you say, okay, look, I still haven't built your trust yet. How about I'll call you back in 2 more weeks, but at that time you have to make a solemn promise to keep your word that you're going to give me one referral. So we're constantly keeping them and holding them accountable. And it's not like we're pressuring them because we're doing something good for their child. They see the benefits, so they're going to really want to give it to us. And they're going to want to refer people. They're just sometimes hesitant and afraid that it's going to put them in a bad note with somebody else. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you out at all?
Yeah, I think it does. I think what I've learned there was how to overcome that objection. And everything boils down to building that rapport and trust with the family members and the students.
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt, that's the most important key to anything that goes on in your school. We, you know, what we hear from our parents is not always the truth. What we hear from our students is not always the truth. They'll yes you to death because they respect you or they fear you or whatever they do with us as martial art instructors. But what we want to get is to the point where they can say, hey, I think your hair looks funny. Not be embarrassed to talk to you like you're their friend or confidant, because that's what's going to let you know whether they really are demotivated or unhappy or whatever. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Great. All right, anybody else out there? Any other questions real quickly?
I have one more question.
Sure.
Like right now, we have done a lot of different things, and we've had a really overwhelming response. We've had some political maneuvering from other schools that kind of block us out using the PTA as a mechanism of action. I don't know if you've ever experienced that.
Well, I haven't experienced that. I hate to say it, but I'm usually the one doing it. You need to maneuver yourself into the program. The only way to overcome that is by, again, building that trust and rapport and being there when those people screw up, you know, being there to offer more than that other school will offer. It's really like a car dealer will undersell their, you know, another Chevy dealer will undersell another Chevy dealer, which just happens to be down the road based on, you know, free rims or free stereo. Whatever they could do, they just want to gain your trust or you'll buy more cars from them in the future. You need to do that with everybody. You need to get out there. Make yourself the most popular, most famous person in your town. And that's what I continually do. I'm writing articles for the newspaper. I'm offering free seminars to the PTA, parent-teacher organizations, whatever it must be. I'm out there every single day, maybe not myself, but one of my staff members, just building our dojo up to be exactly what I want people to see of us. And that's the thing you need to do. And obviously those guys that are blocking you a little have done their job. They've gone out and they've kind of started to build the rapport now.
They have. And another thing is, though, what we deal with is that I'm a transplant to this area, where this other gentleman has grew up here since he was a kid. So he has a tremendous amount of connections in this town, which I'm still trying to build. So
you keep on working on that.
Advantage.
You know, that's real important. Again, just like you said, you're trying to build. What you need to do is go out. And what's really cool is I think Joanne will be sending out in one of the upcoming APS weekly newsletter things that we send out. She'll be sending out something that I said on Marketing 101. And it talks about building the rapport. It talks about how we target certain groups of people and work on getting their trust and building ourselves.
Do you ever talk about, like, how to deal with different personality types and how to...
Absolutely. I mean, I could talk to you more in depth on that. In depth on that when, if you want to call me. We're setting up appointments now, by the way. Quick advertisement. And I don't think they've even launched it yet, but Joanne will be in touch with everybody, or somebody from APS will. And everybody has access to me on the first Tuesday and the last Friday of the month to talk to me on the telephone. And we're going to be setting
first
up 20-minute slots.
And last Friday of the month?
First Tuesday and the last Friday. And we're going to set up 20-minute slots where I'll call you guys at your dojo at a specific time and go over any questions you want for 20 minutes and try to help you guys in any aspect, in any area of the growth of your schools. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next thing.
Can I ask you one more question?
Is it related to what we had just talked about?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
What I'm seeing is a large flow of people coming in for trial memberships.
Okay.
And we're trying to make all those phone calls and all the coolers go along with that. How do you work the flow with that and then still make it 2, 4, 6 week calls?
Well, that could take hours and hours and hours to do, but no matter what it is, work late on a Sunday and a Saturday. Whatever you need to do, get it done. Because now you're blessed by getting this flow of people. Don't get overwhelmed and blow it. You know, because some of those people, if they're not being taken care of properly, they're going to move on to the school down the road.
Right.
So if you're getting the flow.
We're trying to increase the staff and do a bunch of things to get more people, more ants.
You could, but what I would recommend, though, is you as the owner taking the extra time to call these people, because right now, depending on your enrollment in your school, you're going to want to talk to each and every person personally and invite them down to your school and sign them up. So if you have to schedule a few a day, 10 a night, whatever it may be, close, you know, have one day that you're there extra late, and you do it then, because don't lose it. If you're feeling this flow, that's a good sign. But most people, they drop the ball when this happens. You know, they're like, wow, I'm overwhelmed, and they treat people unfair, and they don't follow up professionally, and then they end up losing those people, and that just puts a bad taste, and they won't come back. They'll sign up somewhere else and talk bad about you.
Right.
So do whatever you do. Stay late on a Sunday, on a day that you normally take off. Work extra hours. There's a saying out there that says, for the first 40 hours, it's just to maintain your business. For anything over 40 hours that you work, from 40 to 80, 90 hours a week, that's to grow your business. And I still, at this point in my life, work at least, I'd say, by, on average, 75 hours a week.
Okay.
So I would recommend to kill yourself, not kill yourself literally, of course, but kill yourself with work and work on that. Okay, I'm going to move on, though. So anybody out there does Halloween income generators, you've probably done a Halloween party. We used to do sleepovers in our school. We've eliminated all of our sleepovers. For one, for the liability issues of having kids sleeping at your school, But two, it was just, it would kill us and kill our staff. So the next day they were trashed. They were so tired. Kids stay up, you know, go to sleep for 2 hours. The instructors were tired. So what we went into is all these different holiday income generators, like a New Year's income generator. It doesn't have to be done on New Year's Day. You could do it in New Year's, you know, the day after, the day before, the weekend before, and have a New Year's party. But I'm talking about Halloween now, having a Halloween Buddy Day costume contest. And the goal of this is to build an event that not only is exciting, but also builds motivation within your studio, that synergy. And that not only the students will be happy, but the parents will be happy as well. I'm sure that the parents, this year it's on the 30th, which I believe Halloween is on a Sunday, the 31st. That Saturday would be ideal for you to do a Halloween party. Now, not only is this a fun day that builds energy and excitement and gives the parents a place for their kids to go that they know that they could feel safe, they know they're going to be doing things that are going to be good for them. You could get some trophies for the top 10 costumes, make up 10 categories, scary, funny, silly, whatever it may be, and then you serve pizza. We charge $30 for 3 hours, $10 an hour, less than the average babysitter, or at least comparable to having a babysitter cost. And we'll have, no doubt, probably between our five schools, 250 to 300 kids split up over the five schools, and it will just be an amazing income generator. If you guys had 50 students, that'd be $1,500. And I think it's just a great, great way of getting that extra income and bringing a buddy. So everybody who comes, if you want to, you could work out a deal like this. If you bring a buddy, you come for half price. If you bring two buddies, you come for free. And then the buddies pay, and those people would be paying $30, and you'd have one guest for free. So you get the people to try to save money for their parents, and at the same time, by doing it, they're bringing in friends. And I think that this is just another event that we tend to ignore because it's hard work. It sometimes is a mess. I don't know if you're going to have candy. I tend to stay away from all junk food. The junk food that we do at this party would be pizza, and which is probably the healthiest junk food there is, and also soda. So I try not to give out candy. I try not to do popcorn and cupcakes because it's a big mess. They eat their pizza quick. They're done with it. We let them digest, and we're on to doing some competitions or obstacle courses or whatever we decide to do in your school. But it's just a really, really intense way to build excitement and that synergy in your school and bring extra income in. Think about it. For 3 hours, only if you had 10 people at $30, it's $300. It's $100 an hour for you to be there for 3 hours, and it also will just build it, and hopefully those 10 people will bring 10 people with them. Any questions on that? None? Okay. Alrighty. So then the next thing that I would actually,
I'd actually be interested. I know I did get a lot of questions from people sending emails about Halloween party.
I had a question.
Okay. Am I moving too fast?
No, I kind of wanted to, not to interrupt you, but I did get a question about more in depth about activities and things, about what, you know, what exactly,
okay,
is, you know,
to what to do at the Halloween party.
Yeah, like I know you guys do obstacle courses and stuff.
Yes.
Like, what specifically you do with those buddies when they come in for the referral?
Let me walk you through the front door. We have a Halloween party set up. First of all, right now we're promoting it already, so we've been handing out flyers, and we have a whole month and a half. Well, actually, now it's a month that we'll be promoting this entire event. We have a nice flyer written up. And explains all the information on it, saying there's a costume contest and we have prizes for the winners. Then once we get the people in, they have to pay, first off, in order to reserve a spot. I've found that if people don't pay and they keep their name on a list and they wait, I'll pay you next week, you'll find that those are the people that will eventually just bail on you in the last minute. And you want to have a controlled situation. So you don't want to all of a sudden 25 extra people show up and you don't have enough staff on board. And then it looks like you can't handle it, or you can handle it, and it becomes a nightmare, and it's not as fun or not as organized. So make sure that people pre-register. And even if they pre-register to, you know, 2 days before, that's okay. It's still giving you enough time to order enough pizzas, order enough soda, and coordinate if you have to call an extra teenager in, a staff member to help you, and so on. From the minute they walk into our door, they're fully dressed in their costume. So the minute they get there, they have their costumes on. They take off their shoes, they walk onto our floor, and they kind of sit around and just chat for a little while. So it takes 15, 20 minutes to get all the scragglers and the last-minute people that are coming late in. So we're starting our party at, let's say, 6 o'clock. by 6:30, we're actually physically starting our party, and then we would do our costume contest. We would divide them into categories. We'd have funny, happy, you know, funny, scary, original, whatever you guys want to do. You make them in categories, and then we parade them around, and everyone votes. Or you could get a panel of judges that are assistants and parents that stayed, and they would vote on the best costume. And you kind of parade them around and have them do something funny. One year I actually videotaped the whole entire thing and had it as a highlight at my Christmas party, showing all the cool costumes, people that they made and so on. Then after they're all done with the costume contest, we have them do some stuff. And in our school, we love to grapple. So we'll have everyone get their costumes off, and they'll stay in their they'll have their gi pants with them, or they'll have that under their costume and their T-shirt, their uniform. And then we just grapple, and then we'll do an obstacle course where we'll set up things in our school. And it could be anything from putting a chair that they have to run around a series of chairs, you know, diving over a pad, you know, one of the heavy the wave masters, crawling under the kick pads, you know, jumping on top of the kick pads, having a guy swinging one of the Chambara swords that they have to run and duck or slide under. And then you time them, and you have this time level, and then you could award them a sticker or a prize or a certificate for who has the best time getting through the obstacle course. When all said and done with those two events, you pretty much just get to your pizza. You let everyone wind down, hang out and talk to each other. You throw on some music on a local radio station or whatever it may be, and then they're done. Then you get them dressed, get them ready, and their parents are ready to pick them up. 3 hours goes by like you wouldn't imagine how quick it would go.
What kind of prizes are you giving for the costume?
We normally give away trophies.
Trophies?
Yeah, and I have trophies left over from all the tournaments that I host, so I just change the labels on the trophy. And sometimes we don't even change the label on the trophy. It just says first, second, and third, and it says, you know, whatever it is, and we hand those out. But you could do a certificate. You could give out, if you wanted to, a dojo shirt, a school shirt. You could give out a jacket. Whatever you want to put into it, as big as you want to make it, you can, or as little as cost-wise you could make it as well. It all depends on your cost and how much you're putting into, you know, the event and how much you want to make on it.
How do you now? What do you do with the buddies that you said that are coming in? Do you target them directly while they're at the event, or?
Well, no. My goal is to hopefully a parent will drop them off, but most of the time they come in with a parent. So what we do is we ask them to fill out a waiver, trial class waiver and questionnaire, just to give us permission, of course, and to give us that insurance waiver that they're allowed to do the martial arts in our school. At that time, we have all their information, their email, their telephone numbers, their cell phone numbers, daytime phone numbers, and their address. So what we do is after those kids leave, if they're not in there with their parent, we'll send them home with a free week's pass, and we call up and ask the parents if they're interested in doing the free pass. You know, just because they get a pass doesn't mean they're going to go. But when we call them and put them on our mailing list and email people on a regular basis, we try to continually schedule them for that free week or that free month or whatever you decide to do, and that's how we work on our referrals from those buddies.
Now, I have a question for you.
Sure.
That is when they do that kind of stuff, what I find has happened is a lot of parents will send them with, you know, regular active members, so they don't
right.
have, they can bypass that mechanism, or they come in and they leave real quick, and
yeah.
oh, I'll get back with you, and you end up getting maybe one phone number, and you send out flyers, but nobody ever responds.
Well, you know what it is though.
Yeah.
First, I want to address the issue that you have about getting
mm-hmm.
people avoiding you. So you have to make it mandatory that those kids are not allowed to stay unless they fill out that waiver and liability form completely. So you send that home with them and say, if you're going to bring a buddy, you need to call up. And if they sign up ahead of time, you have to have a waiver with all the information on it. And, and as far as saying, I need phone numbers or else we can't have you here because we need contact numbers in case anything does happen or he wants to come home, we need to be able to call you. So, and when they're walking through the door, and if Mrs. Smith is the mom who's already enrolled in your school with her kid, and she brought a buddy, and they don't have a waiver filled out, then you can't allow them to stay. Or you could say to them, listen, we need to have that parent come down, fax us, email us, or you fill it out, and you give me all their pertinent information and sign the waiver, and you take responsibility for that child.
What about adapting the child idea to an adult party? 'Cause most
absolutely.
Of our- Yeah, most of our students are adults, and we're thinking about doing something like that to make grow one of our programs.
I think it's incredible, and I just sent out a tip. I think it just came out today on the five hottest tips or five tips to do for October to make your best October ever. And I believe in one of them, it talks about having an adult costume party. Imagine
okay.
how, you know, we all, as an adult, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
For 30 bucks from my wife and I, if we could go to a costume party, dress up, have fun, dance, joke, have food. I mean, that would be awesome. And then you ask them to bring a buddy. I mean, people always go, hey, would you like to go to a costume party with me?
Yeah.
They don't even have to do martial arts.
Would you consider people's wives and husbands as a buddy, or would you still?
Yeah, I mean, anybody would be. Anybody that's not an existing member would be a buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, anybody that you potentially could get as a student would be a buddy. And I want to go back to the last gentleman's question where he says that we've mailed out flyers and we've sent things and they don't respond. I had just recently got a question asked to me by somebody that says, when do we stop sending out flyers, right? Does anyone else have thought that? When is the time where we should just give up, right? Does anyone can say an aye out there or a yes, sir?
Yeah.
You guys have ever asked yourselves that question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that...
No, more or less what I ask is when are the best time to send out flyers where they're going to have the most dramatic effect?
Well, there is no best time because you don't know what that person has going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, it could be a Christmas special that you're running that might charge them to come in, but they might not be ready. They may be busy, overwhelmed with other things in their life, and Christmas is just too hectic. They go away to Florida for the holidays. That just might not work for them. So I'm going to tell you one thing that just happened to me recently, which just reaffirmed why I need to continually send things. I had a girl that trained with me when she was 16 years old. We've been sending her flyers. She's now 27. She now has a child of her own. She joined our program, only trained with us for 6 months, went away with her family. They moved. She went away to college. She's graduated college, got married, and now has a child of her own and has continuously gotten our flyers, our newsletters, our emails for 10 years. And she just came in and signed her kid up because her kid is now, I think her kid is 3 years old, and she's been waiting. She would love to do it. She loved our program. She's always read our newsletter. She's a huge fan of our school. And she just said, now's the time is right. I want to get my son involved. And she came and signed her kid up. So there's no time frame. It's only 30 cents over the course of 10 years, 7 times a year. It costs us probably about $60, $80 to market to her. And she just signed up for a year program in our school. And, you know, so there's never a time where you should give up hope on an ad. And I would say do them consistently.
You're talking mass mail?
No, well, it wasn't mass mail. It was targeted mail from a client of ours. It wasn't cold mailing or, you know, marketing that way. This was somebody that originally signed up in our school, and they were part of our organization. So we just keep our database, and we continually mail to those people over and
from
over
old leads
and over
old
again.
Students.
Old students, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, we also, if someone came in for a trial class that didn't sign up, they get put in that database as well. If someone came in and, you know, just inquired but filled out their name and information, they get put in that email and database as well, and we'll mail and email to them regularly until they get mad at us and say, pull me off your list. You know, I've gotten people that have written nasty emails and said, take me off your list. This is, you know, I don't want to get any more junk from you. So we take them off nicely and just ignore them from then on. But we continually mail to them on a regular basis. And like I said, this just proves that it works. And you never know who's around the corner waiting to come in. So, okay, let me go into our next thing, which I think is really hot for my school. And it's the Halloween referral card. Now, this is a really cool concept, and you guys may have done it or may have seen it. It's like a VIP pass. But it's a Halloween pass, and I actually have them available through my graphic artist. If any of you guys want them, you could email me. Or maybe APS. I don't know, Joanne might have. Do we have those available through APS? If you're there.
No, but we don't currently, but I'm sure we do have the holiday gift certificates, so I'm
right.
Sure we could version something. I'll get
yeah.
Right on that, actually.
Well, you could, and then if not, we have them available, and we could work through you guys, Joanne, so you could let me know, and I could they could purchase them through you. But it's the size of a business card. Now, but check this concept out. Here's the kicker. It's a one free. It's a simple VIP card that has a Halloween, you know, face on it, you know, a skeleton in a karate gi. And it says it's a one-week free pass, and what we do is we gave out 10,000 of them last year. How did we do that? Of course, we have 1,200 students. And what we did was we gave out a stack in rubber bands. We had them in this huge bucket, and we had them rubber band in stacks of 30. And every child took a stack or two stacks or three stacks home, and the parents literally gave them out with their trick-or-treat candy. So instead of just handing them a thing of Tootsie Rolls, they handed them a thing of Tootsie Rolls or a penny or a nickel and a free pass worth $19.99. And they gave them out. Some parents had, you know, their houses are really busy with trick-or-treaters, and this year is going to be, I believe, depending on the area, but in my area, it's going to be really busy because it's the first Saturday in a while that's going to be, you know, the first Sunday that it's going to be trick-or-treaters, so we'll get daytime traffic. They're not in school, so it's going to be a good one, and we're going to give out, you know, probably 10,000 passes. And we give them out, and it's a free pass. And I've had people show up 2 years later with a pass that we've given out, that they've held on to them for 2 years, but they get them in their trick-or-treat bags. And it's just amazing. So that's one thing that I think is going to be just awesome. So do anybody have any questions on that?
So you give out these passes to the parents, and the kids pick them up, take them home, send them out to the kids and trick-or-treaters.
Yep.
What's their incentive to grab those and take them and give them out?
Because every parent wants to find things to give to the kids. Like when I'm doing trick-or-treat at my house, my wife runs off usually the day before and buys whatever candy she could give out, and we give it out to the kids at the door. So we ask them and say, listen, could you do us a favor? One, help us promote the school. Two, here's a really cool gift that you could give out to kids, and it'll save them money. They don't have to give them four pieces of candy. They could give them one piece of candy and a gift pass, or two or three pieces of candy and our gift pass. And they say, hey, use this gift pass. This is worth $19.99. And usually, you know, people are happy to promote the school. You'll find some schools that parents won't promote the school because they're afraid if the school grows, the quality will die. If you have a school that they could see can handle people being busy, then, you know, it's something that they'll be happy to do. They'll be happy to promote. They'll be happy to give those cards out. And literally, let's just think about this concept. If you have 100 students in your school and each one of those people give out 20 passes, that's 200 passes that are going to be out there. And it's just another way of building, you know, up your referrals and your, you know, free trial classes. Make sense?
Excuse me, Alan.
Yes.
I have a question. Now, with that, you said you've had people come back 2 years later with your passes.
Some even longer.
Do you put an expiration date on them, though?
Never.
Put the emergency? No.
Never. I mean, some people love to... You know, the thing that the theory in advertising is people want a call to action. You know, so that's why they say, sign up now, $19.95, expires on January 5th. Well, you know, if you're running another ad that week and it says, sign up, $19.95, expires on... you know, February 2nd, they're going to get used to the trick, and they're going to say, they're going to say, well, they do this every single month.
Right.
And, you know, they're not going to believe in an expiration date.
Okay.
The next thing, though, with an expiration is that if they don't get to it, and let's say they put it in their things-to-do list, and they find it a week later, and then they find out that the expiration has passed, they just toss it in the garbage.
Okay.
They won't take the chance to call you and go, hey, can I use this pass? They'll feel embarrassed. So I believe it's better to let it linger and then, you know, is the possibility of them using it 2-3 years later. And we do that on all our stuff. We never put expirations on anything.
Nothing. No newspaper ads or...
Nothing. We normally don't put an expiration on anything that we do, even our newspaper ads, our flyers, or any specials that we run. Because you know what? 2 years later, they could come in and say, hey, I got this flyer 2 years ago, and it was a $19.95 special. To me, it's still, I could say, you know what, we're not doing it at $19.95, now it's $99.95, but, you know, for you, we'll do it.
Right.
And, you know, it's really the goal is to get someone through the door. I think the biggest misunderstanding about marketing, I talk to people all the time now by working with APS, and people, I have to say this without insulting anyway, sometimes people are silly when they run their business, they'll go, I don't want to give away a free uniform. Imagine if I gave away 10 free uniforms and those people, you know, that's $200 if you pay $20 a uniform. You know, I said, well, how much would you pay to run an ad in the paper, and you could pay $150, $180 and not get a call? Well, you got 20 people in your school or 10 people in your school that are now wearing your uniform, feeling attached to your school. Now it's your job to convert them. And if you convert only one of those 20, you've already paid your uniforms off. So people make the mistake. I mean, you could give away the farm. If you know, on my Taking It to the Next Level site, There's stuff coming up now that says you need to know.
I want you to see Master.
You need whoever that is. We got to mute.
Yeah, Allie, I'm going to interrupt you for just 1 second because I'm having an issue. If I mute someone on this call, that is because we're hearing an extreme amount of background noise and it's distracting to the other callers. So please do not unmute yourself if I have muted you until you are ready to ask a question. Sorry to interrupt. I just noticed that a lot of people are muting themselves and the noise
okay.
Getting.
I'm getting like a fax beep in my ear as well, so I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I'll take care of that one too.
Okay. So anyway, going back to, what was I just saying? I just lost my train of thought. That's
sort of,
so we had to give away the farm, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, right, you're right, exactly.
Level.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I find that, you know, you need to find out the value of what a student is worth to you. For instance, if you have Mrs. Smith and she has her kid in your school and they're on the ultimate program, or let's say the basic program, and your basic program is, just let's say as a for instance, is $1,000 a year. That student is worth $1,000 and the basic program, every student is worth $1,000 to you. So now, what would you pay to get that student in your school, and how much advertisement would you sink into that student before it became a losing proposition to you? Now, the thing is, now you have to look at your student and say, okay, one student to equal $1,000. If the average student refers one person, now that one student is worth $2,000 to you. And let's say those students average out 2 years in your school, so that one client value is $4,000 to you as an owner. So now, how much would it take, how much would you pay, and how much would you do to keep that student in your school? Because if you look at everybody like a dollar sign and say, okay, well, that one person is worth $4,000 to me if I follow up and follow through on everything I do, then how much would it be worth to you to give out a $20 uniform or a $150 ad in the paper or giving them 4 free private lessons to keep them in the school or whatever you do to make that person stay, to not lose a client? I think customer service in this country that we live in is out the window in a lot of companies. You know, you go in, people treat you unfairly at a restaurant. It's because they don't own the place, and if the owner only knew that they were going to turn you off and never have you come back, or you might go there every single month, once a month, and spend $100, that's, to them, you're worth $1,200 as a client. They should give you a free dinner if you are unhappy the next time. Because if they were smart, they wouldn't want to lose you. If they find that you come into a restaurant every single month, maybe one day the owner, if he was smart, should walk over and the bill should say no charge and go, you're such a good customer, this one's on me. You know, how loyal would you be as a consumer if that happened to you? You know, how loyal would you be as a martial arts student if, you know, someone did that to you? And I think that we forget that as owners, and we forget that our most valuable possession is the people that are right in front of us. And also, we need to know that we cannot be penny pinchers. We cannot nickel and dime a person when we know that that person could potentially be worth $4,000. So I recommend to everybody, figure out your value of your clients. And the way to do it is, one, find out what the basic bottom line tuition is they charge. Find out what the average person, how long they stay in your studio. Multiply those two together. And then see if the average person refers how many members. If they refer one member only, then that person is worth $3,000 to your school. So aren't they worth $150 if you woe them over the years in mailing them mass marketing and sending them a free Frisbee or mailing them a newsletter or, you know, whatever? That's where you start to learn the value of your marketing. And this ties into our income generators. Do you have any questions? Because I'm going to move on to one other thing and upcoming events and so on. So any questions on so far what I've covered? And I've covered back-to-school pushes. I've covered the Halloween party. I've covered the Halloween referral cards. So what? Any questions so far?
She just called me there. Like 2 seconds ago. She just called me there.
No? Okay. All righty. That's cool with me. We have upcoming months, just so you guys could get a kind of an idea of more of the things that we're going to be covering, is we're going to be going over next month on still staying into this back-to-school push. Because other than it being, they've been back-to-school for a while, now we're going to try to work on the ideas on how to transfer people that are having trouble, or transfer people that are getting bullied, or transfer people that are getting low test grades. We're going to try to turn them into clients or better students, or upgrade them into our better programs. And that's going to be an upcoming event. And then we're also going to start talking.